I always find it interesting, you know, when we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, we have the gospel reading that's one of the most basic, you know, like common ones in John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that he sent his only son. But that's the gospel that's chosen for one of the most complicated concepts for us to understand, which is the mystery of the Trinity. And as we celebrate the Most Holy Trinity of one God, three persons, I've tried it all as a catechist, you know, as a teacher. I've tried everything that you can imagine. I've tried to explain it through peanut butter jelly sandwiches, apple core, three-leaf clover, triangle, right? Wearing different hats. But there's really no, like, one way to really kind of explain the Trinity, because it is a mystery. Yet, I do want to focus on, have you experienced the Most Holy Trinity personally in your life, right? Because I think reality is that at every moment of our lives, we do experience the Most Holy Trinity. We might not think of it that way, right? We might think, well, I'm praying to God, or I'm praying to Jesus, or I'm praying for the Spirit on Pentecost. But we actually experience all three at the same time. So, for example, what do you meditate on Good Friday? Jesus, what happens on Good Friday? Like, Jesus dies on Good Friday, right? So you usually meditate on the death of Jesus, or the seven last words. But at that same time, God the Father is right there, you know, weeping with you. And the Holy Spirit is right there, leading your heart towards the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I think kind of like in that language, I was thinking of what kind of concept really kind of captures the moment of our experience of the Most Holy Trinity in today's society. And I would say it would be what I call synergy, right? An added term would be holy synergy, right? So not energy, synergy. You've heard of this concept, synergy, right? Have you ever had a coffee conversation with somebody and just things kind of light up and you're like, yeah, 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 yeah. And it's like, wow, wonderful, right? And you have this great idea. Or this basically synergy is a benefit that results when two or more people work together to achieve something either one could not have achieved on his or her own. And it's not just a division of labor. So you do this, you do this, you do that, like a factory model setting. Instead, it's coming together, sharing in ideas, collaborating, and coming up with something great. And that's why you would think that if you want to start a restaurant, if you want to be a small business owner, start a restaurant, if you're the only restaurant in town, you think that'd be great, because everybody would go to your restaurant. But that's actually not how it works. If you want to be a successful restaurant owner, you need to be part of a mall. And you need to be in a shopping mall with five or six restaurants together. So people can go, oh, I want to go here on Monday. I want to go there on Tuesday. Right? That's why you see so many businesses that it's clustered together. Banks. Why is it you see four, five, six banks together in the same complex? Because it builds synergy when they're together. Or in the Silicon Valley, so many small companies, startups going on. Oftentimes, what happens to a startup? Well, some of them crash. Most of them die, okay? But if you kind of do make it, small companies, startups, they kind of merge together, merger acquisitions. And when these two companies come together, that builds synergy, that builds spark. Or let's take a look at the Golden State Warriors, right? I know we lost, but don't worry, we can lose one. That's not a problem, you know? So much individual talent. But yet, when each player sacrifices becoming MVP, you know, so I don't need to get triple-double. I just want to work for the team. And they work together. I'll put all these wonderful talents together. That's fun to watch, isn't it? That's creativity. That's spark. And they become unstoppable, right? Then, holy synergy is the Most Holy Trinity working together at all times. Where at every moment of our lives, we see how God the Father loves the Son, sacrifices his Son for our salvation, as the gospel says. The Son, in return, loves the Father with his perfect obedience on the cross. And the Holy Spirit is the fruit, the expression of the love between the Father and the Son. And that dynamic is always at work. And the result is holy synergy. As the second reading says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The same greeting I said at the beginning of the Mass, right? But how does this work? And what are some things that kind of block us from really experiencing most Holy Trinity, holy synergy? Well, I would say we have to recognize, number one, that we cannot do things by ourselves. I think one of the most important things for us is recognizing that we need help in our lives, right? And do you know people who kind of prefer to do things by themselves? Whether it's a school group project or a working project, they're like, I don't need your help. I got it. In fact, you're going to slow me down. Those kind of people, right? No, as smart as you think you are, we need to surround ourselves with others to create that spark of energy. We need God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's not just a one-person show. And give you some examples here. When I was in college, I was asked to lead a youth retreat. I've attended youth retreats, but I've never been the director of a youth retreat. So we have about over 200 students for this youth retreat. And I'm going, what do I do? I actually don't know what to do, right? And how do I plan? And what should the agenda be? And what should the theme should be? And then one of my friends said, Stephen, I have a suggestion. Well, what's your suggestion? Why don't you ask them? Oh. So out of that 200 roster list, I picked out a sample size of people that would kind of well represent the whole crowd. And we had a meeting together. And we prayed together. And they had all kinds of great ideas. Ideas that I would have never had. Right? And there it go. There's the whole theme. Right? And ideally, when we come to Mass, every time we come to Mass, it should be an experience of holy synergy. Right? But there are also some people where, I don't know, maybe we don't believe in community, but I see some people, as soon as they park, they have this direct beeline to their pew spot right there every time. And it's we say, okay, please stand. And I forgot what the greeting was today, but please stand and, say hi to each other, greet each other. That's it. Right? And then it says, let us offer each other a sign of peace. where's the synergy in that? Right? Or one thing I want to share with you, something I'm a little bit disappointed is, should we be a parish that should be accepting and loving of everybody that comes? I mean, is that an assumption that I can make for all of us? Right? One thing was, in the surveys that we did, a lot of young families with young kids, like babies, they felt that they were not really welcome at our parish. Because what happens is, what do babies do? I cried when I was a baby. Did you cry when you were a baby? Maybe some of you didn't. Maybe you're I don't know. But I think it's wrong if you don't cry as a baby, right? That's what babies do. Babies cry, right? But some of the comments said I'm trying my best here to bring my kids and be a faithful, Christian. But when a baby cries, what happens? At Mass, when a baby cries, what happens? That first reading talk about stiff-necked people is what it talk about, right? And that's not a very welcoming thing. Where's the holy synergy in that? You know what I mean? And some people go, I'm a grandma. I had 10 kids. I've been there, done that. Well, good. Then you should help. Maybe you got some tricks in the bag. Maybe you should hold the baby. Give that mom a break. You know what I mean? That's what it means to build up that holy synergy, right? And we should be welcoming and loving of any kind of babies, right? That's what they're supposed to do, cry, right? And also, we need to have an open-minded spirit in order to really experience, in order for the holy synergies to work in our lives. So some teenagers, most teenagers think the world is over. Most teenagers think, life is so horrible and nobody likes me and the whole world is against me. Why don't you share with somebody? You don't got to keep that all to yourself. Why don't you share that with somebody? Share your burden, with your brother or sister, mom or dad. Right? You don't got to keep that all to yourself. I know a 97-year-old lady or parishioner here. How old is she? 97 years old. Still healthy, but slightly declining in health. And you can see the beginning signs of, you know, like dementia and Alzheimer's. Don't want to get any help? Mm-mm. She is independent. Right? She's still driving. She's still doing the grocery. She's still paying taxes. She's doing everything. Right? 97 years old. Why don't you let your son or daughter spoil a little bit? No, I'm good. I don't need any help. Mm-mm. That's blockage of the holy synergy at work. You know what I mean? You can still keep your independence, right? But let your kids in a little bit. Let them spoil a little bit. You know what I mean? Spiritually, when we are not open to holy synergy, we become closed off in a state of desolation, empty of the Spirit. But when we are open-minded, we are in a state of consolation, kind of this free-flowing synergy of Holy Spirit, which allows us to, you know, really experience it. And I think that's truly what Jesus means when he says, when two or more gather in my name, there I am in the midst of you. When I visit families for dinner, it's a beautiful thing when I see families praying together, right? Praying together, that's just like holy synergy right there. Or people gathering together to worship God, praying. Like in January, you have the March Walk for Life, right? People marching together in solidarity to promote pro-life. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. And there's holy synergy there. Or every other year we have the World Youth Day. I think the next one's where's the next one? In Panama, right? In Panama, right? We have the youth and young adults from all over the world gathered together and praying together, experiencing God together. That's holy synergy right there, right? Or even this morning we had this meeting to kind of revamp our social justice ministry. It was so refreshing to hear people and their passion. They all have different idea of what is social ministry and what they want to do, but to hear each other and praying together, that was very refreshing for me, and to recognize, wow, I sense holy synergy there. Or even in the midst of tragedy, right? Like within the last week or this week and next week, we have like over 10 funerals. A lot of people dying here. And a lot of like cornerstone families, right? Like really, you know, people, families who have been here for 40, 50 years. You know, it's so sad, but yet at the same time, when I meet with these families, in the midst of sadness, in the midst of grieving, there is holy synergy there. When we support each other as friends, family, part of community, there is holy synergy there, right? So I ask you this week, as we celebrate this great mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, think about how can I be agents of holy synergy? Whether I'm finishing up at school, whether I'm at work, whether I'm with my family, whether it's at the bus stop, whether it's at the grocery store, how can I be an agent of holy synergy that is truly open-minded to really receive this experience of the Most Holy Trinity?